Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night.
Hello everyone and welcome to What a Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. On the show today, Jude Summerfield, Shawnee Walsh, Hunter Godson. Everyone alright?
Yeah. Feeling, mate. Supposed to have a game at the weekend. Nothing happened.
It's really, really weird. Every time one of my games gets postponed, suddenly feel a bit awash and a bit agog. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do now? What is going on? Well, yeah. And particularly with the way that it was postponed. I mean, this one was certainly better. I actually think this experience was certainly better than the Crystal Palace experience. I mean, Sean, that was wild when we spent half the night wondering whether the game's going to be on or off. Wake up in the morning, still not sure whether the game's on or off, and then kickoff just goes on as normal. At least with this one, we knew with a little bit of warning it was off.
Yeah, Palace really ruined Christmas, or at least Arsenal didn't do that. But yeah, I think after the Carabao Cup game last week, it just looked quite apparent that they had some kind of grounds that they were going to postpone the game of the weekend. I know there was reports on Thursday, Friday that Spurs weren't expecting it, but still, like if everyone's just kind of figured out now, like teams are starting to take the piss and Arsenal the next team on that list. So I think the annoying thing for me is that, you know, you spend so long working your way up mentally to the derby, being anxious about it, trying to like console yourself, and then nothing happens. So that means that,
you know, when you say
that feeling's coming again this season.
You know, when you say console yourself, is it like that you're going through those like weird stages of grief where you're kind of like accepting you've already lost the game?
Yeah.
What will I do when we lose? It'll be fine because I'm prepared for losing. It's fine.
Yeah, if I don't open Twitter, then it's fine. I can't see it. It didn't happen.
Can't hurt me.
Yeah, exactly. And you just sort of mute a lot of WhatsApp chats.
Yeah. Throw your phone out the window, honestly. Save yourself.
Hunter Godson, how are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well. As I think I've said to you now twice, my weekend went from all the football to no football. My game on Saturday was cancelled due to dodgy groundsman. Didn't trust his own work. So
we'll set you free.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then obviously I was supposed to be going with a couple of mates to Sunday, and we were gonna go and have fun.
They were gooners, your friends.
No, God, no. I wouldn't take gooners to the fucking
derby. I was
going to
say, that's like, that would just be the worst thing ever.
That's
like
awful.
Going with Arsemans.
No. I take some mates who support like middling clubs to games sometimes just because it doesn't matter as much. But no, your big ones, your Spurs are out, basically.
You know your friends that support, like, you've got mates that will support teams that are kind of like mid-table or whatever. And then occasionally when we're going through one of those phases where things are a bit tough and they say, like, don't take it for granted, like, my team's shit. I'm like, I don't want to hear about your bullshit. Yeah.
Well, you worry about your shit team and I worry about my shit.
Chesterfield and Spurs are not the same.
It's not the same.
They have different
thing.
Expectations. So they hit differently. Okay.
It's so true. Right, let's get stuck into it then. We're going to go through the kind of the ins and outs of the Arsenal game. We're going to talk a little bit about our favourite subject on this podcast, which is Eric Lamella. And then we'll look ahead to what is like a massive game now against Leicester, given that we have lost another game to a postponement. It's sort of weird because this one now feels really, really, really important in terms of not getting cut adrift in any way. West Ham obviously did us a massive favour at the weekend, but we'll get stuck into that shortly as well. So, Shawnee, I'll start with you. In terms of the kind of the nature of this postponement, I have seen a lot of very unhappy campers on social media talking about how Arsenal are cowards, how ridiculous this is. Are we as Spurs fans being a little bit sort of unfair here, given that if we were lacking a load of players, we probably would have tried to get it called off as well?
Maybe a little, but at the same time, when have Arsenal ever been fair about anything in the history of their club? So I don't really... I'm not one to care
going
about
going big. We're going
that's,
wide.
That's the question we're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah, on the one hand, if Arsenal don't have enough players, then they can't play the game. But on the other hand, they've been shipping them out willy-nilly and kind of brought this on themselves. You know, if they kept Maitland-Niles, if they sent off Pablo Mari today to Udinese.
Kolasinac's going pretty soon as well.
Yeah, Kolasinac's like, going, yeah.
They are grinning behind the scenes, mate. They are.
You can't just get rid of all your crap players and then be like, oh, couldn't play them anyway.
Yeah, it's like I saw someone on the Arsenal beat today did a tweet and it was basically kind of saying like, oh, why are people up in arms about Arsenal loaning out Mari or whatever? Like, does that mean that Arsenal have to stop doing their transfer business? It's kind of like, yeah.
Yes.
Have you not heard of if a team's right back gets injured, that means that the right back they wanted to sell that plays like deputy to him, you can't get rid of him anymore. It happens every single window. You're not the ones to invent this. Like, you're not special. Like, come off it. Come
on.
It's amazing, isn't it, how the how your kind of distaste for Arsenal just in general, I can't see beyond the North London derby in this situation. I'm not able to kind of see all of the other kind of extenuating circumstances. I'm like, you promised me a North London derby. I'm playing the North London derby. But just for the sake of argument, I do think if we were the other way around, I totally get that we would have thrown the kitchen sink at getting it called off. And then we would have had a very, very... we had a very, very passionate supporter base sitting there, be like, oh, you want everyone to get COVID, do you? Is that what you want?
Well, did anyone really want this game after the performance against Chelsea and knowing that we had our injured?
I know it's one of the, we're not supposed to say it, but I was quietly quite happy that we're going to have some defenders back for the for this game, hopefully now, at least if not.
Yeah.
Eric Dyer will be there and Romero has been training for 2 weeks now, so he can't be a million miles away, is all I'm thinking. With Reguilon sort of suffering from exhaustion. There are pros here for Spurs. I know, obviously, Arsenal will be stronger and whatever, but it's a derby. You know, I want us to have the best game, best team.
Our best team's better than theirs, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think legally you have to say yes, but I think it's pretty close at the moment.
I don't know whether, because we were having a conversation about this, weren't we, Hunter, the other night, about whether Spurs break down that Arsenal defence if Arsenal just set up to come and put 11 men behind the ball. Whether in current guys we break them down.
Yes. My gut feeling is if Southampton can put 10 behind the ball and we make it look like, you know, prime sort of Italy in the 90s, then I doubt that we're going to break down become a very, very, very stern Arsenal defence when they sit in. You saw Liverpool just look toothless, barring that obvious Minamino miss. But I think to sort of go back on the postponement, I think Arsenal are just abusing the rules as everyone else has. I think Leicester, if we're going to look back at anything, Leicester set the tone because they had injuries and AFCON players, and then people were like, Yeah, okay. Well, we'll try that one out then as well. Of course, it's of their own making, which is why we're absolutely within our rights to be annoyed. But I think it's the Premier League's fault. And the Premier League should have come out and, I know I've mentioned this before, but I think if the Premier League had said, right, Arsenal game's going to be called off, these are the, and as on Monday morning, they put out a list of execs that need to be hit to postpone a game. And everyone was like, okay, now we know what the rules are. You know, they sort of came out with a half-assed statement about how this is about player welfare and they have to take AFCON and injuries into consideration, but they really don't. And it's never been like that before. So yes, I can see the annoyance, but it doesn't surprise me because the Premier League have essentially set up an awful, awful system and are just digging the whole bit. Like the Burnley game getting called off tonight, again, it's just another example of just people playing the system. Like
they've facilitated, haven't they? They've literally facilitated this.
The Conte said in his presser today, didn't he? Like about how if like he's never in his life experienced like postponements because of injuries being factored into it. And he's like,
yeah,
maybe we need a better schedule because clearly what's going on the last couple of years isn't working.
It's been said by plenty journalists now but the Premier League's are the richest clubs in the world. They have these under 23s, under 21s, under 18, you know, they have a rich depth of talent coming through their systems and they just refuse to even dip into it for like a bench player or a couple of bench players. And then you see someone like Leeds, for instance, who put a few on. I think West Ham had a couple on the other day who didn't have any caps. And you sort of think, well, isn't that what football's supposed to be about? Is like when you're in these systems, it's about manipulating your squad and seeing what you've got coming through the academy and giving them a chance. And who knows, you might unearth some talent. But we're not going to see that. We're just going to see emergency loans for the same six players just over and over and over going to like the same clubs over and over. And yeah, I don't know. I completely understand it. But I honestly think quietly Spurs with Son, Spurs with Reguilon, Spurs with Romero and Dyer, it's a much, much better team for us.
Yeah. And I also think that at the moment we're sort of, there possibly is a couple of bits coming in or a transfer potentially coming in. I think also a kind of 75% Sessegnon probably can only play for 60 minutes. And that's potentially a risk as well. So it's not just the fact that you would obviously have Reguilon in the team, but it's the fact that you're asking Sessegnon to do the work rate piece for 60 minutes and then put him at risk of injury as well. That combined with the fact we looked a little bit toothless against Chelsea, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, just having a bit more time to just get settled and try and get everyone try and get a team fit for Leicester, Jude. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to have a backlog. Well, we've got a backlog of games now. And, you know, the season's getting shorter as it rolls along. So there's probably going to be a little run where they've got to play like quite a lot of games in quick succession. I know they're out of Europe now. They're out of the Carabao. It's just the FA Cup is their sort of extra commitment. But like, yeah, there's going to be some issues with player welfare. But it would have been good for them to have a little time to reflect after those Chelsea games where they were sort of just chasing shadows a lot of the time. They had some, you know, not unlucky because, you know, none of the three calls that didn't go their way in the second leg, they were all rightly put off. So it weren't unlucky, but a few disheartening moments.
Did you do the thing with the first penalty shout when Højbjerg was about 3 yards outside the box where you're like, no, but maybe he popped
I could hear the commentator going like, yeah, this will be overturned. And I was going, yeah, maybe it'll see yeah, and it'll be fine.
Something I quickly want to point out is that from the press box, you could clearly see that all three were so obviously the wrong decisions.
That's all I meant commented on during that whole thing was like, how bad is the refereeing that he's got? Because in another time, we get two penalties and a goal.
Mm. We win 3-2.
The Kepa one was so bad.
Yeah.
The Kepa one where he just takes the ball and it's like, it's a clearly a good tackle and he's like, right, penalty.
So it's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously everyone hates VAR and VAR's the enemy. But really, like, that's it in full effect. And that is really just bad lines and work, bad refereeing, just bad all round.
Maybe it was a plot. It was a design to make VAR look better.
Very good.
Well, it was Andre Mariner, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Andre Mariner.
Yeah.
Doesn't boast hugely well, does it, when you probably consider that he's one of the top referees?
I will always remember Mariner for sending Rose off for the cleanest tackle of the 13-14 season in that 5-0, 5-1 bumping.
Yeah,
it's not Chris Foy, though. Do you remember Chris Foy?
Disallowed
a Jan Vertonghen goal when he had the ball in his own half for offside. I'm still upset about that one.
That was seven years ago this week.
Never let it go.
Sean's got it tattooed on his arm.
never forgive.
Got like the gate chart underneath it, just adding one each year. Quality stuff. Right, let's get on to talking about just the most wonderful and lovely thing, seeing Eric Lamela still get to kind of live vicariously through the Spurs supporter base and that goal that he scored. Now, how long ago is it? Are we getting on for a year ago?
It was March of last year.
Yeah,
pretty close.
And I mean, like, how lovely was it? Did anyone watch the interview, see him just sitting there with his, like, sort of put his suit on and he's got that high-pitched voice and you're like, oh, Coco.
The whole ceremony was just bizarre. I don't know if you watched it.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just the Zoom element of lots of it is just horrible, especially after
just
a year.
Ronaldo awards as well.
Everything was on Zoom until they wheeled out Ronaldo. It's like, hang on. Yeah.
If we give you an
award,
it
was just knocking about in the back.
wheeled him out and he said, yeah, I can play until I'm 60. And he's just on his...
he did that and then he did a little Zimmer frame. And everyone's like, oh, fuck off, mate.
Get out.
On the Sue thing, did you see Andy Murray was talking about it? And people were booing him during his game. And then he figured out they were all chanting Sue. And he was like, it was extremely irritating to him.
Are they... Spurs, are they booing me?
Yeah.
What did I
was saying, Sue.
What did he say? And he gave like a little like sort of little short kind of punchy thing. He's like, oh, you have to deal with idiots like that or something. While he was giving,
he wasn't happy about it.
it was really weird though as well. Please don't let this become the Wenger out thing. Like you were literally. I don't know, someone will be watching WWE and then before you know it, see people in the crowd doing the Sue thing. It was like dabbing. Do you remember dabbing was like...
You know, just this is much like worse than dabbing, I can assure
dab
you.
Dab cam.
Yeah. Dabbing and planking. Yeah.
Good. And do you know what? Cambridge. Much as I love what they did at Newcastle.
You're ruining it.
You're ruining football. Whoever's in charge of this, stop it, because you're ruining football.
No offence to Max Rushton, but liquidate the entire club off the back of that. That really upset me, because I was like, go on, Cambridge. Oh, for fucking hell. What's that?
You really wanted them to be the good guys, and then that happens.
At least at least our boy Eric didn't do it after winning, eh?
You never would. You've got to go a long way to make Newcastle and their ownership look like the good guys.
But apparently
17 men shouting Sue while jumping around, pretending to be a 37-year-old guy who's going to play until he's 360. We'll certainly do that for you. But it was lovely, Sean, wasn't it? I know it's another one of those things where I was like, oh, yeah, add it to the trophy cabinet. But considering what was a really tough year, it was nice to have a little moment from it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a properly unique achievement. I'm ignoring like the add it to the trophy cabinet stuff, but it's a properly unique achievement to have back-to-back Puskás Award winners. Like, that's really... Can you imagine like how good your goals have to be for that to happen? Yeah. And then the counter to that is that you've got all the Mourinho fans trying to claim that,
Oh, my days, I saw that.
It was like, yeah, we have to produce the best goal of the year to score a goal in this dog shit team that he's playing.
Yeah.
Just honestly, I've not missed, I don't know about you guys, I've not missed that at all.
No, not at all.
He's getting
that.
Linked with Everton, so he might be on these shores again.
Honestly.
That is a marriage made in hell.
That's like the worst possible move. That's amazing. Do you think there's, like, how many football fans in England do you think that's a good idea? And yet this might happen.
None of them think it's a good idea, but they'd all be voting for it if they could.
Oh, my God. I'd love to see it just because, yeah, there literally could not be a worse matchup, I think, in football at the moment, apart from maybe him going back to Manchester United and giving it another go.
Yeah.
One of the things that, I don't know whether you guys felt this, was one of the things that I always felt at the time when he was in charge, is that you appreciate the chaos of Mourinho in the Premier League so long as he's not your manager.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
Always been that way.
We were Everton fans well, now. Yeah.
Bless to them, be fair, if they have had enough punishment.
Yeah, to honestly, they need vibes. As I was saying to you, Hainsey, they need vibes. They need Big Dunk. Wayno. They need the legends back in the, just to, like, you know, kick a few people up in the air and just have a bit of fun.
Get the sweatbands out, man. Come on, let's do this.
Oh, the poor bastards.
Umbrage as well when people are like, yeah, Spurs and Everton really similar. I'm like, do not compare us to Everton.
For a long time I saw it and now it's just becoming... It's becoming too hard to even claim that there's a similarity.
It's a case of at least we're not them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it could always be worse.
I think winning the Puskás Award 2 years running is basically the Spurs experience. It's like, yeah, you're going to have some highs. Are they going to lead to anything really? No, but...
No, we lost to
2000 Spurs.
Yeah.
We in fact, lost to Arsenal that day.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lamella got sent off.
Lamella got sent off.
I mean, that is just... Sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I often get sent stuff saying, "Oh, Spursy." I'm like, guys, you just don't get it. That Spursy scoring the best goal of the year in the derby, getting sent off, and then losing—that Spursy.
Exactly, and I think that the goal comes from a raking Gareth Bale pass, who was then substituted about 15 minutes later and hooked. Like Mourinho,
he had a face like thunder, didn't he? Yeah,
he recovered from that as well. Mm. Like,
which is great because Gareth Bale, I mean, is and was still an absolutely wonderful player, and it's mismanagement that meant that he couldn't. I mean, he could have played 15 more games, and his goals and assist record was pretty impressive, right?
16 in 34 in all comps was really good record for what he was.
That's, I mean, look.
I look back in fondness of that spell, honestly.
Mm. Yeah. So it's interesting. I'd bring him back even if he wanted to use Spurs as a fitness camp for ahead of if Scotland qualify for the next World Cup, which is when he said he'll quit if they don't.
It's Wales, Scotland.
Wales, sorry.
Scotland in the playoff.
Well, now he's Wales, back on. Sorry.
No, because we were talking about this earlier, and it's Wales versus Scotland, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, basically,
if they
yeah.
both make it through, if they, yeah.
If they make
only
it through.
One of
them. Yeah, only one of them can get through. And he was saying that he'll retire if Wales don't make it. Oh, come to Spurs, mate, and just have, even if it's just the pre bit, just come and do it with us.
I think you're right, Sean. I definitely have a soft spot for like three or four of those results where, so it was the Crystal Palace 4-1, I think it was the Burnley 4-1 or 4-0. There was a
West Brom, I think, as well.
Did he score a hat trick against Sheffield United as well?
Yes, Sheffield United, that was one of them.
And one of them, he just spanked it from the edge of the box. Like,
yeah, he did.
Really
old school.
And Hainsey, me and you were very privileged that we were able to be there for those as well.
Like, well, that's, so, yeah. It's not yeah. like, I remember, I can't remember which other, but I think it was, might have been Rule the Roost. It might have been at Tetrunk, or it might have been Fighting Cock, just talking about the idea of like fan fiction. There was there's a time when you would literally be like, how on earth have we got Son, Kane and Bale playing as a front three? And we should have, at that moment, we should have just gone like, right, take the shackles off and just like, let's just forget about the fact that our defense is a bit dicey. We're just gonna have to outscore teams. Let's just have some fun. Like, but of course,
that bloody Lanzini goal, that West Ham collapse. Oh,
it's
them what did it.
It's an entire season.
Had the right players, but just the wrong guy in charge at the time. And
the Leicester game as well, right? Leicester game, we just sort of came on and scored a couple of goals, then left.
Yeah, had a 1-2 at the post.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
It just jogged out the tunnel, got on a plane, and flew straight to Madrid.
I'd love him back. Absolutely love it. And I think he could do. Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't grab hold of him now as a backup to Harry Kane and just say, like, come and do 6 months and just sit and play 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Like, play a couple of games from wide right or whatever. Like, he's clearly good enough, you know. Obviously his injury record's not great, but he's clearly good enough to do it. I just wonder whether we now have decided we're going forward thinking with the transfer policy. Anyway, let's go on to Leicester. So Leicester have had a really, really weird season, a couple of really good results, a lot of really poor results, and at times they look unrecognisable from the team that we were all kind of buzzing watching in the FA Cup final. roll on, what is it, 6 months, 7 months, and now they sit 10th coming into this one. But they're on the same amount of games played as us. So West Ham in fourth, 37 points, 22 games played. Spurs in sixth with 33 points, 18 games played. It's really annoying, isn't it, Sean, that they've just got that extra point. It'd be lovely to kind of usurp West Ham with all of those games sitting there. Because while it's that many games, you're still a bit like, oh, God, what if we have a bit of a wobble?
Yeah, you wanted to have a clearer picture. I think that at least, you know, if we win against Leicester, then at least we go above Arsenal for the time being. That's like one kind of mental hurdle. At least we've done that. We've gone above them. Then obviously we get to Chelsea the weekend, but I'm not trying to think about that. But yeah, I think it'll be a weird game because Leicester just haven't played in so long. And they might just be a bit too rusty to really kind of get going. Whereas we, you know, we had the cup games to keep us going. So we're quite fresh. We're just a bit eager to get back out there. So I'm hoping, because I think when we asked this a month ago when it got originally postponed, you were like, from the postponed games, would you take like getting a draw away at some of these teams? And I think now it's definitely, we're in the case of, no, we need the win. We need that win now.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's a really thin Leicester squad at the moment as well. They've got a load of injuries, like a lot of defenders out. They've got
Ndidi, AFCON is big.
Yeah, but Mate, Ndidi, Iheanacho, all at AFCON. Vestergaard's had to play in central defence and they haven't kept a clean sheet when he's started in any of his matches.
Love that.
I don't. Well, here it comes, right?
Here it comes.
Classic Spurs fashion.
The doctor will see you now.
Yeah, exactly. But there's so many players that they've got out, and it's one that Spurs really have to, you know, show up for and get 3 points.
My word, Jude, I hadn't realised how bad it was.
Yeah, not Charlie either.
It's Johnny Evans out. Castagna out, Vardy out, Ricardo Pereira out, Fofana out, Samari out, Luke Thomas, Dewsbury Hall, Justin, Soyuncu, Daka, Iheanacho, Mendy, Amati, and Ndidi. But have they got anyone?
Are we sure that we're not recording this podcast in vain?
Oh, lads.
The news will break later tonight, I'm sure.
It'll come through, won't it?
I'll upload this and it will be postponed a minute later.
Literally just be like, yeah. Cancel it.
Yeah. Oh, but they have got some players in really good form at the moment. Tielemans is having a stormer. Madison's
back in form, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So depends if they loan any players out before tomorrow, I guess. Send totally a couple out.
two-week loan just to get the games called off. Who would you like to see starting tomorrow, Hunter, for Spurs?
So likes probably a strong term, but who will I see starting tomorrow? Well, disappointingly, it doesn't look like Dyer is going to be fit, which is a bit of a shame. Do you know who I would like to see? And I might, is Joe Roden? Now, I don't have a clue what's going on with Joe Roden. Can anyone tell me?
Yeah, I've always called for him to play, but he was a bit off it against Morecambe. But I guess this would be last chance soon for him.
There, surely. Yeah. I felt like Gleeny.
Well, Gleeny never helped him at all. Yeah. No, you're right.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I'd like to see him in the more settled back line. Maybe this isn't the game for him because Davis is going to have to play as well. But I just feel like Jaffet in the last few weeks has really not been at the levels that he needs to be at in the Premier League. And it's not necessarily, again, it's not necessarily his fault. But we're light in centre-back at the moment. And the options we have are worrying. Like, if you looked at those three centre-backs, they're not top quality Premier League centre-backs. They're not where Spurs want to be. So I imagine it will be the very similar team as we've seen recently with potentially Sessegnon coming in at left wing back, who I would like to see, to be honest. I would like to see him back in the starting 11 because I refuse to watch Matt Doherty play left wing back anymore.
For the record, I thought Sessegnon was really good against Morecambe. He was one of the only ones that really kind of gave it his all and really Liverpool, kept going and didn't ever kind of lose confidence with it.
I like his engine. I know that there's a risk of injury, but that's when you bring him. You got to start with your strongest 11, especially against who are they going to have at right back tomorrow? Because Castagna's injured, Justin's still out, right?
Albrighton.
So you'd back Sessegnon to at least get a couple of runs on Albrighton. So I'd like to see him in. I think you know my feelings on the central midfield pairing. I'd like to see Skip and Winks given a chance to play together, just because I feel like, especially against a team that's missing Ndidi, there's a chance in central midfield to really dominate the ball. It's either a front two, which is Kane and Lucas. Lucas has become completely undroppable at the moment for us. And then Lo Celso behind them or Dele behind them. I think I'm probably more leaning towards we need to make Lo Celso work. And I still think Dele needs to go out on loan.
The Lo Celso thing positionally, so are you saying better as a 10, play the two, Lo Celso in behind?
I don't think he's mobile enough to play in a two in central midfield. We've tried it a few times and I actually think Højbjerg has the same problem. He's too easy to play around. He doesn't have that sort of that 5 yard acceleration that you really need, especially in the Premier League with the ball moves so quickly. I think there's a great clip going around Twitter, as always.
It's not
of Lo Celso, it's of Højbjerg. And it's a moment that really stuck with me in the Chelsea game where he just gets 1-2'd around by Havertz. And I can't remember who does the initial pass.
Is it Loftus-Cheek?
It's not even quick. It's like really slow. and he like spins around and then still can't get to the player in time. And I just, for me, that's a squad player. That's not our starting centre midfielder. But look, that's the team I'd like to see. There are issues, but I still think Spurs are quite far away from their strongest possible 11 at the moment because of injuries. They also need to get people off the books. Like, if Ndombele's not going to work, we need to get him gone. We need to get people. And it's worrying because they cost a lot of money, so Spurs aren't going to just let them go.
This is the nature of it, of transfers in this era, isn't it, Jude? And that if you sign someone on massive wages, it is very, very difficult to move them on at this point of the season.
Yeah, I mean that's the game you're playing when you sign them in the first place, isn't it? When you sign someone like Ndombele, who was what 50, 60 mil, you're putting all your eggs in that basket of them performing well and having some sort of sell on value once you decide that you don't want them there anymore. And unfortunately, just like the output that he's given Spurs just has not been anywhere near enough to justify the price that they paid for him in the first place. So they'll want to recoup some of that cash, but they're not going to, because nobody will want to buy him for that amount. And nobody wants to bring him in on wages. I can't remember what he's on, but it is a lot, isn't it? For someone who seems to have a little bit of an attitude problem and who has trouble getting up for games against smaller teams, like Hunter mentioned the other week. Where he goes is anyone's guess. I have no idea.
I'd imagine, 13.
Yeah, if he got sent out on loan, Spurs would be covering some wages, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see how any of this happens. Now we've got 13 days, and how many? You'd say there's five players that need to leave, right, or that potentially should be looking to depart the club. Four, maybe, and then we need to replace at least two of them. And you're probably looking first and foremost at a right wing back, because Conte has made it clear that he wants a right wing back. And a central midfielder probably is the other one, a more creative, progressive central midfielder. I feel like with Dier and Romero, technically we should be covered for this. Obviously, they're both injury prone, but you should be covered there for the season. You should be able to start to build a partnership. The left centre back is going to need to be addressed, but I don't feel like that's the top. I don't know if you guys agree, but I don't think that's the top issue for me right now.
I think we can get back to the end of the season with these centre backs. It's just we're in an unlucky period with the injuries.
Yeah.
What about the wing backs? Do you think we can get through to the end of the season with the wing back?
Well, look, if it's a big if, because Sessegnon seems to have a lot of recurring injuries, and Reguilon, he's clearly worked his ass off to try and get fit under Conte, and it's, you know, Conte's essentially had to do a pre-season during the middle of the season, during the busiest period of the season. Luckily, Spurs have had a couple of weeks off because of the COVID things and you know, other games getting called off. But I can see the left wing back, I don't think is an issue at all. Right wing back is a big, big issue because we have no one vying for that position with him. Matt Doherty, he's not really wanted at the club. It doesn't look good enough to be at the club. And then the issue you have with Emerson is he's brand new to the league. He's young. He looks very raw, worryingly raw. I think we can agree. He needs someone to be pushing him and also maybe putting an arm around him and being like, look, this is how we play in the Premier League. This is what you need to be doing more of. There's no one in that position who can help him at the moment. There's no one really there who can sort of guide him. So he plays week in, week out, whether he plays well or rubbish. And it just so happens the last sort of 3 weeks, it has not been particularly impressive.
Some Conte quotes today, Jude, sort of saying maybe we'll have to do something. Well, we need to do something, even if it's not the perfect fit. Well, or words to that effect. That's not verbatim.
Yeah, the do something was quite interesting. He did also say, "Do something up there. What are you playing?" So yeah, that did sort of take my eye a little bit. I mean, we know that they're still looking into Adama Traore and whether they want to get that one over the line, whether they can nail down a fee, and he would be brought in with the purpose of playing as a right wing back, which apparently he'd be happy to do. So that would be an interesting one. He did also, like as all managers do, like reiterate that January, tough month, etc. And it'll only be done if the deals are right for the club. But you can't do a rebuild in January, so it's going to be whether they're right.
I know that Dan brought it up on the last show, but the idea that Spurs are going to recruit a right winger and just go, like, that's the right wing back, and are willing to spend upwards of 20 million quid on him, I just don't feel like that's good recruitment. I can't feel like that's good recruitment, because surely you'd be looking at young, up-and-coming fullbacks or a wing back who's sort of there, and you just have to spend a little bit more money on it because it's a risk. Like, can he play right wing back? Obviously he has played there before, but it's not his position, and we'd be asking him to do it for the majority of this season and maybe going forward. So
I guess there's a flip side to that, in that would you trust Conte to at least make it functional and better than the Emerson experience?
Oh, definitely.
But I do take that. I do also take that it's not amazing recruitment either.
I just thought all roads lead to signing an actual right wing back for me. Like,
yeah,
like you've got someone like the young guy in Liga, Youssef Attal, is a good right wing back who's been doing it for years. Tarek Lamptey obviously hasn't played a ton of football, but looks like a truly brilliant footballer. There's a few others knocking around. Like, if that's, you want to go down the younger route or go down like the sort of old head. Who was it that Inter had for years? The Swiss
D'Ambrosio.
Guy.
Oh,
Lick Steiner.
Oh,
Juve.
No, he went to Arsenal. He went to Arsenal, Hunter.
So that wasn't a good example.
I'm not talking about him at Arsenal. I'm saying you either go for like, you either go for someone who's done it before, he's right wing back, he knows the position inside out, or you go for like a young, exciting, clearly talented player, which maybe they thought they were getting an Emerson. But
I do think as well, what you're saying is really interesting on the nature of that sign. So the numbers that have been talked about are around 20 million for Adama Traore. And I suppose looking at it holistically, the reason why that's worrying is that if you sign him as a right wing back and say he's one of two for next year, because he doesn't disappear after 6 months, right?
So in six months'
time, he's still there. So you would have to say that he's part of the squad plans for next year. So what part of the squad does he play for next year? Probably right wing back, because Antonio Conte is not going to change his system. So does that then put a roadblock on something like a Tarek Lamptey, who realistically, if you like, just from my point of view, if you said to me, do you want to go the rest of the season, not spend the money, and then chuck 25 more million on that and get Tarek Lamptey in the summer, I can wait. I can be patient, because I think Tarek Lamptey is so perfect for the system that we play. So good for the system that Conte looks to play at the moment. The only other thing that I could potentially see happening is that when Romero and Dyer are both fit, there's a possibility maybe that you move Gentle Ben into the left wing back position and are a little bit lopsided. But I just can't imagine Conte wanting to do that, because he seems to want his wing backs to be so sort of rapid and so energetic and go up and down that to play lopsided, I don't know, it just doesn't really seem to suit the nature of what he wants to do. It
feels like we'd be going back to the old high right back tactic that we
had. Oh,
a classic,
an absolute classic
of the Mourinho era.
Oh. That was Gubbins, wasn't it? Good lord.
We're going to play one way and one way only. Get up there, Maria.
Got it. Hi, right back.
Look, I'm all for the Adama signing, because fun. And fun is why we watch football, and I think it would be fun. Yep. But it does have to be questioned. If it doesn't work, which we don't know if it will, is he a good defender? There has to be real questions about those two signings, and maybe the last 15 signings, but like, we'll do those two first.
Get him in and get the baby oil, and let's all lube up for the podcast.
I'm up. I'm in. Oh, you son of a bitch.
And you heard it here first. He wins the Puskas Award for next year with mad run from the edge of his own box. Perfect timing to get him, by the way. He just scored his first goal of the season.
Do you know what? It was a lovely goal as well.
But in true Adama fashion, he missed a sitter 2 minutes earlier.
Did he?
Brilliant, yeah.
There's any chance that this is like, you know, when someone plays well against you and you're like, he's quality, Ian. They're really good. We should go. Do you remember when he scored that goal against us in the game, sort of where he sort of smashed it from maybe 25 yards?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. With his left foot as well, right? He like shifts. It was mental.
And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, quite
decent. He can hit it.
Maybe he can hit a ball.
Well, United have done that. They've played Aston Villa twice in 10 days. And they're like, why don't we sign that John McGinn lad?
Oh, gosh. Well, look, we're saying no real major changes for the Leicester game tomorrow. How do we see it playing out? Are we in for a long evening, do you think, Sean?
I think a gritty win. I think it might be long, but I think at the end of the day, we leave with 3 points.
We've had a decent run against them recently, haven't we? In terms of results, and we just seem to be managing what they throw at us quite well. And with the weakened team, I'm sort of with Sean. I don't think it's going to be particularly pretty, but yeah, I can see a win tomorrow.
Defensively, you considering that we were without Di Romero, it's a relief to know that there'll be no Iheanacho and no Vardy, won't it, Jude?
Yes, because Jamie Vardy was like quite scary good against us on the last day last season. I think he scored two pens, but like every time he got the ball, it was nightmare fuel. So it's nice that he won't have to play in that one. And we'll see if they stick up top. Yeah, but they have got good other players. They've got Harvey Barnes, who can be really good on this day.
Is Patson Daka fit?
He's maybe. He was possibly on the team sort of predicted stuff. So Patson Daka, thigh injury, potentially back for Spurs.
Do you know what? He's one who I would have loved Spurs to pick up. And he was linked with Spurs for it. And then Leicester just went and did some very clever business. I think he's a very good player.
I mean, they've still got enough there, haven't they? But it'd be an interesting one all the same. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again early next week. We'll have had hopefully a couple of games by then, won't we? So lots to talk about.
Chelsea on Sunday as well, right?
Oh dear God. Not again.
Fun. Okay, look, the saving grace, West Ham versus Man United at the same time. So it means that, like, whatever happens, it's not a total disaster, because if United lose to West Ham, then
funny.
I mean, what on earth? And equally, if West Ham lose to United, then we haven't lost any ground. So, we'll be back on Monday. Have a fab week, and if you haven't subscribed to the pod, please do subscribe. Check out all the guys on social, handles in the description, and we'll see you all next time.
Oh, what a night, watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.